Good morning. Welcome. This is Ephesus Baptist Church. As you know, this is God's house. He's provided it for us to come and to worship and to praise Him. And I ask, are you glad you're part of the family of God?
Amen.
Amen. The text for today is found in Paul's letter to the church at Ephesus. It's Ephesians 2, verses 1 through 10, and I invite you to follow along in your Bible or one from the pew rack in front of you as I read. Ephesians 2, 1 through 10. As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who is dishonest. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our sinful nature and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature objects of wrath. But because of His great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with Him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages He might show the incomparable riches of His grace, expressed in His kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace you have been saved, through faith, and this not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. May God add His blessing to the reading and the hearing and the studying of His most holy word. How many of you have seen Antiques Roadshow? If you'll raise your hand. Oh, we got a lot of people who've seen it. But for those of you who haven't, it's a television show in its 15th season on public broadcasting system. And basically, people travel to the location of the show and they stand in line with their painting, their baseball cards, their guns, their knives, their furniture, their jewelry, etc., waiting to learn from one of the show's appraisers the value of the item which they have brought. And we hear a lot of talk about antiques, not only on that show, but particularly on that show, but also we'll hear it when we go into furniture stores and art galleries and things like that. Well, what is an antique? The short definition is an item made over 100 years ago. And in addition to antiques, which can have value, there are collectibles. And there are three groups of collectibles. First are the artistic and historical items like a Tiffany lamp. And then second, there are popular items like Beanie Babies and Pokemon cards and whatever the fad is at the given time, Star Wars memorabilia. And third, there are items which gain value because of their association with another item or another person. An example would be a dress worn by Marilyn Monroe or a stovepipe hat that was worn by Abraham Lincoln. These would be collectible items. Well, what makes an antique or a collectible valuable? Just because it's an antique, just because it's collectible, doesn't mean that it's necessarily valuable. So I want us to look at four factors to consider when we are looking for a value of an item. And the first factor is rarity. This word describes an item that is not seen often or found often in general circulation and use. You can possess all the items over 100 years old that you want. You can have all the collectibles that you could possibly obtain. But if everyone and his brother has three of them, they're not going to be valuable or not going to be as valuable as you would hope they would be. Sure, they're collectible. Sure, it's made over 100 years old, but the issue is supply and demand. What you want to hear from that appraiser on the program is, this is the first one I've seen in this condition in 20 years of appraising. That's when you start to have a little grin on your face, because I think usually he's going to tell you that it's pretty valuable because of the rarity of the item. The second factor to consider when determining the value of an item is the provenance. This is the history of the item. From where did the item originate? Who owned it during the course of its life? How was it used? Who made it? Who used it? Where was it used? Provenance provides a story to go with the antique, and it gives it a life beyond its intended use. If you just have a rifle, it may be 100 years old. It may be a Civil War rifle. But if you can prove through its provenance, through its history, that it was carried at one time by Robert E. Lee or one of the other famous officers who fought in that, then the value is going to greatly increase because of that history. The third item, factor to consider when determining the value of an item is the quality. And this merely is the degree or grade of excellence of the item. The fourth factor to consider when we determine the value of an item is its condition. Condition comprises the elements which determine the value of an item. It shows its essential appearance. The condition shows you its essential appearance, its outward appearance. And most items found in mint or near mint condition, again, if they are rare, then they will bring a much higher price than those with flaws. Patina, you've heard the appraisers talking about patina, and I'm sure most of us know what it is, but patina is everything that happens to an item over the course of time. And such actions have an effect on the item. It may give it a softer look, a more subtle change in color. It gives it character. And all of the effects, natural and man-made, upon an item which create a true antique are considered the item's patina. That's why they tell you, don't clean up an old item. Don't clean up an antique. Don't sand the barrel of the rifle. Don't clean, redo the tabletop. They're looking for the patina. What effect that time has had on the items. But what I really want us to consider today, I wasn't necessarily here to give a lesson on collectibles and antiques and how to value them, because I certainly am no expert, but I want us to consider, how do we know if we are valuable to God? So I want us to apply those four factors which we discussed and stated were used to determine the value of an item. I want us to apply it to our lives. Let's look at rarity. You know, before Jesus came into our lives, we were common. You could find a bunch of us just like us. We were under God's curse, doomed forever for our sins. We followed the crowd and were just like others, full of disobedience to God and obeying Satan, who is at work now in the hearts of those who are against God. And as a consequence of this sin, people had no relationship with God, and they had convoluted relationships with each other. They were powerless to change and were pulled down to destruction because of their sin. But after we accepted Jesus as our Lord and Savior, we became rare. We became unique. We became gifted. And we became recreated in the image of God. Well, what about our Provence? Our life and our history before we met Jesus had a bad past, a bad present, and a bad future. Our lives were used to express the evil that was in us because each of us were born with an evil nature and were subject to God's anger just like everyone else who sinned against Him. Our life and our history after we became a believer changed dramatically. It was filled with joy and hope and God's mercy. God is so rich in His mercy, as Paul tells us in the text. He loved us so much that even though we were spiritually dead and doomed by our sins, He gave us back our lives when He raised Jesus from the dead. Only by God's undeserved favor have we been saved today. Appraisers tell us that people wish to know if a great man or woman touched an item. In other words, does the item have a hallmark? Does it have a seal? Does it have a maker's mark? If you have a silver fork, it's much more valuable if Paul Revere's maker's mark is on that fork than if it's just a nice silver fork over 100 years old. We know as believers we have been marked. Paul tells us in the first chapter of his letter to the church at Ephesus that when we believe in Jesus as our Lord and Savior, we become marked with the seal of the Holy Spirit. People can see that we have Provence, that we have a history now of being a child of God, that we are marked by Him with the Holy Spirit. What about the third factor we looked at, quality? Of course, the quality of every one of our lives has been marred by sin. But God is recreating us in His image. And Paul says He also raises us up with Him in the heavens to be with Him in Jesus Christ. And fourth, what about our condition? Now that we believe in Jesus, now that we've accepted Him as Lord and Savior, our new condition is marked by integrity, holiness, and righteousness. For we are God's creation, created in Christ Jesus for good works. Now, if you didn't listen to anything I said to this point, I do hope you will listen. Now, as we look at the answer to the question, what really determines an item's value? Most of us, you know, can say, well, I can tell you what my house is worth. I can tell you what my cars are worth. I can tell you what my jewelry is worth. Those of you who farm tobacco can say, well, I can tell you what my crop is worth. But can you really? Because how do you determine the value of an item? Anybody? Whose mark is on it? But there's one other defining criteria. What is someone willing to pay for it? You can have that silver fork with Paul Revere's mark on it, and you may think it's worth $5,000, $10,000. But if all you can get when you offer it for sale is 10 bucks, then that's what it's worth. You could have a $2 million home and you need to sell it and you put it on the market and you get offered $750,000 and that's all you can get. Then that is all that it's worth. If you're wondering what is our value to God, then consider what He did for us. He sent His Son to die a horrific death on a cross, to pay a debt He didn't owe, to free us from a debt we could not pay. How much more value could you put upon yourself to God than that? We so often undervalue ourselves. We underestimate ourselves to God the value that God places on us, His servants. We underestimate the power we have when He works in us and through us. Oh, we can't do that. I can't do that. I can't serve here. This church could never do that. We just are questioning God. God, who had His own Son killed, allowed Him to be crucified for us. So how do we increase our value to God? To help show Him how much we appreciate the price He paid. First, give your life to Jesus. That's what we need to do. By accepting Jesus as Lord and Savior, we acquire value in God's kingdom and acquire value as an individual. We need to spend our time, money, energy, and talents and expertise on those things which create eternal value, not temporary secular value that will fade the moment that our heart stops beating and we're no longer living here on this earth. Paul states in the last verse of our text, "For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works which God prepared for us to do." Third, we need to see our value and the value of others through God's eyes, not through secular eyes, not through the way that man looks at one another or looks at himself. As I said, we so often underestimate our value. We underestimate our abilities. We underestimate other people. We look at them and say, well, they don't look like a teacher in Sunday school. They don't look like, they don't seem to have the education to do so and so. We underestimate. We need to see each other through God's eyes. Paul tells us in his letter to the church at Philippi, don't cherish exaggerated ideas of yourself or your importance, but try to have a sane estimate of your capabilities by the light of the faith God has given you. We must allow God to restore, renew, refinish, refresh, and add value to our life. And how do we allow Him to do this? We spend as time in God's Word through Sunday school attendance and reading the lesson, through Bible study attendance and studying the course that's being taught, and through individual Bible study. We must spend time in God's presence through prayer and meditation. We must spend time with God's people by attending the various activities at a local church, those that I've just mentioned, by attending local and associational meetings, by attending statewide meetings or even national meetings to meet with fellow believers and to converse and have interaction. We must spend time serving God's purposes by following His teachings and the commands set forth in His Word. In other words, we must live a Christ-like life to add value to ourselves, to try, because we'll never succeed, but to try to show God that we are so appreciative of the value He placed on us, what He was willing to pay for us, that we want to do all we can to increase our value to Him. Are we valuable to God? Each of us is of value to God. He died for me. He died for Jimmy, for Linda, for every one of us here. And He wishes that all of us will be with Him for eternity. But for that to happen, we must accept the gift of salvation. We must say, Lord, thank You. I accept that gift. I want Jesus to be my Lord and Savior. And you have an opportunity to do that today. What better time than right now? The Holy Spirit has spoken to your heart. And you need to show God that His investment in you was worth it. And do so by accepting Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Come forward and we'll talk to you about that and whatever you need to talk about. As we sing a hymn of invitation, number 407, Because He Lives.